Welcome back. This is 180. I'm Carl Claussen. So glad you're with me today, and I'm so glad that my guest is with me. It's time now for What We Believe and Why. And with me, Dr. George Koch. How are you, my friend?
Good, Carl. Glad to be here again.
It is good to have you back. I enjoy our discussions, and today we're going to jump into an important topic, and we're going to hit it from a unique angle. And George, in your book, What We Believe and Why, you've passionately outlined theological terms, concepts, ideas. You've gone through history, and you've proven through your book how God works, how he moves hearts. And you've also illustrated beautifully that we live in a world of conflict.
We do.
One of the things that we save for today, for you that are listening, you're here at a good time. George, you say, confess and stop at the juncture of potential conflict or in the middle of it. Tolerate, protect, and then you say, fall in love. Give a quick history of those prior three, and then let's hit fall in love.
And these are the four steps to get us closer to reconciliation in any conflict that we have in the church, and certainly in any theological conflict where there are opposing sides. And what I've said is, first of all, it is utterly wrong and sinful, and I'll say that as strongly as I can, for me, when I disagree with you, to treat you with sarcasm, with condescension, with shaming, with disfellowship, with any of those prideful acts, simply because there is an issue on which we disagree.
Boy, there's a lot of that out there.
There's
sitting here thinking, wow. And by the way, I stand accused. I did that. And when I was in Bible school, you know, it seemed to be a rite of passage to be a jerk when you're in Bible school. It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I think
I think it's our youth, isn't it? Yeah, we do still do it.
I think we do.
Yeah.
But we can learn and we can grow in Christ as we become his disciples. And so the first step in reconciliation, even if it doesn't ever mean agreement, and I'm not suggesting that reconciliation means we agree on some point. There will often be points that we will never agree on, but we can have our hearts reconciled one to the other if our heart is right with Jesus.
Yeah.
And so the first step is to confess my own sinfulness in the way I have treated you or others where we have disagreed. And I have to stop doing that. That's step number one.
Okay.
Step number two is I have to tolerate you, not just sort of with an eye roll and, oh man, he's at it again, that kind of...
And also not a, oh, here's an open door, go walk all over me.
No, of course not. But the toleration means an active love for your blessing, agape in Greek, that I act for your blessing. I love you in that way. It's that kind of toleration, even if we disagree. And the third thing is that I protect you, and that's related also to that agape kind of love, that I do not allow you to be attacked by people who might agree with me, or even that might not agree with me, but that are against you, that I have an obligation to protect you. And I'll give an example of this in a minute. And then lastly, that we should fall in love. So these four steps, confess and stop, that's step number one. Secondly, tolerate. Third, protect. And then fourth, fall in love. And I'll give you a great example.
All right, we need one.
You and I have been talking obliquely about women in ministry, but we've never actually addressed that as an issue.
Let's go.
And I'm not going to take a side on it.
Okay.
But what I'm going to say is that there are really good, substantial, Bible-believing, solid Christians on both sides of the issue.
Yes.
Of whether women are allowed in ministry. Those who are opposed typically would say, this is what's called an ontological issue. A fish can't be an orange, or a lily can't be an oak tree. So they would say, a woman is a lily, a man is an oak tree. They're both really valuable, but a lily can't be an oak tree, an oak tree can't be a lily. We shouldn't confuse the two. And Scripture tells us that men are to lead in the church. That's how it's read.
Right.
The other side would say, Well, actually, what you see in the places where we believe that it implies that men, or states explicitly that men should be in leadership and not women, that's just a cultural artifact of the language in which it was written.
And there are other cultural artifacts that we don't adopt. Therefore, right. We have to be sensitive to this one as well.
Exactly. And I'm not going to advocate for either of
those. You're doing a good job of hiding which one you stand for.
In this conversation. Well, I don't want us to get distracted.
I appreciate that.
By that debate. We have something that I'm a part of, and it's a group of churches, about a dozen churches that have been in an intentional relationship with each other, the ministry partners and the congregations, and we have sort of stuck together through difficult times. And a couple of years ago, and some of those churches have women in ministry.
Okay,
and some don't.
I figured that was the point to that.
That's the point. Some do and some don't. Okay, and we've been respectful of each other. Well, we are in this union together. It's not a formal union, but it's a group of churches that really care about each other. A couple of years ago, I went off to Israel to do an immersion study of Hebrew. And I sent a note around to everybody that said, I'm off the planet for a couple of weeks, don't have access to email, nothing else, I'm gone. You guys just watch out for each other while I'm away. As soon as I left, someone sent an email to all of the leaders of this group, and it said, those of you who know that women cannot be in ministry, how dare you associate with those who believe that they can? You need to get yourselves out of this group and into a pure group that does not permit this heresy, if you would.
Okay.
I mean, it was really quite, I was going to say bitter, and that might be the word, but let's just say it was
shocking anyway.
It was a gut punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Now, normally, you would expect that the women in ministry, or at least their churches, would stand up and defend them.
The churches that proposed women in ministry.
Absolutely right. Okay. Those that support it. Instead, the pastors of the other churches that don't have women in ministry.
And theologically probably don't even agree with it.
They don't. No, they're on the other side completely.
Oh, boy.
They stood up and defended the women and defended those churches. And they say, how dare you come in here and try to destroy the hard-won unity that we have. We respect each other even though we disagree.
Oh, my.
So I came back.
That is holy moment.
Isn't it wonderful?
That's a holy moment.
I've got goosebumps.
Oh.
I came back and this whole event had unfolded while I was there. And what happened was it drew our churches closer together. We fell in love with each other. We had been kind to each other. We'd looked out for each other. We'd protected. We'd been friendly. But that defense, that protection of those who agreed with the hand grenade thrower, if you would, theologically, protected those on the other side, it made us all fall in love with each other because it was the love of Christ that was protecting, if you would, the disadvantaged or the less fortunate or the one perceived as an enemy, and we fell in love.
That's wonderful, number one. Number two, see if I've got this right. I got to do this quickly. It seems that reconciliation isn't the need to agree on every detail. It is the passion to let love prevail even when there's disagreement on the details.
You named it exactly. That's it.
Powerful thing. Thank you, George.
Carl, thank you for letting me.
Want to hear more from George Koch every Sunday here on AM 1160 at 1 p.m. Tune in. It's called What We Believe and Why, or get a book at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Find out about his church. They're pretty unified. Resurrection.org. Resurrection.org. This is 180. I'm Carl Claussen. Your life, a new direction.